Who's in charge? Our screens are filled with leaders at all levels during this current COVID-19 pandemic. Tough decisions are being made with huge implications. We need leadership. God's children take comfort in the reality of having a heavenly monarch, a king who was installed many years ago and is reigning today. Psalm 2, the scriptural passage for today, was designed to be read at the coronation of a new king. As world events unraveled, God responded with an unmistakable assertion. He's in charge. Jesus Christ is Lord. This song, penned 3,000 years ago, needs to be echoed today. Who is Jesus? He is God's reigning King. Blessings from the desk of Pastor Keith. Join us in listening to this online service this morning. A special thanks to Joshua Raja for playing the piano for our time of worship. The Ajax Baptist Church Sunday Morning Reload, March 29, 2020. On behalf of Pastor Keith Edwards and the entire family here at Ajax Baptist Church, we're delighted that you've joined us for this week's Sunday Morning Reload. The text is Psalm 2, and the message is entitled, Who is Jesus, God's Reigning King? Now, here's Pastor Keith.
Well, good morning. Welcome to this special Sunday at Ajax Baptist Church. This may be the one, or first rather, of many Sundays as we gather together in our homes rather than together at the church auditorium. We welcome you to this service of praise. The theme of it will be Christ as our King. He is the Almighty King. We're going to begin by singing, O Worship the King. If you know these words, join us as we sing.
O worship the King. Splendor and girded with praise. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, friend.
Join me in prayer. Father, thank you that we may enter into your gates with thanksgiving. We may enter into your courts with praise. Thank you that on this first day of a brand new week, we can worship you. You are our King. You reign over all the earth. And Jesus Christ, your one and only Son, is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Father, these recent days, these recent weeks with the virus have reminded us that we are frail children of dust. We are as feeble and frail as the world, and yet we trust in you. Our eyes are upon you. We focus our attention even this very moment upon who you are. Thank you for revealing yourself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. You are faithful. Your faithfulness endures from generation to generation. So help us, we pray, to find fresh faith to face the days ahead. Quiet our anxieties. Remove fear and give us a fresh faith and confidence that you are our God, that you will care for us. So help us even this day to cast all our care upon you because you care for us. Thank you that Jesus Christ is our King. We worship him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, later in our service this morning, we're going to be looking at Psalm 2, a psalm, a coronation psalm, often read at the coronation of new kings. But let me read this passage for you. If you have your Bibles, Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you be destroyed in your way. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. We thank God for who Jesus Christ is. Would you join us now as we sing Rejoice, the Lord is King, and that will be followed by King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But let's sing together two stanzas of Rejoice, the Lord is King.
Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. His kingdom cannot fail, he rules. Keys of death and hell are to our Jesus give. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice.
In the book of Revelation, we read that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's worship him together as we sing this wonderful chorus.
King of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah.
Good morning. If you take your Bibles again and turn to Psalm 2. In our series of studies, we've been asking the question, who is Jesus? And our answer to this question today comes from Psalm 2. Psalm 2, let me read for you again this passage of Scripture, appropriate for the situation we're facing as a country, as a world, as a city, as a community, as a church. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. The book of Psalms is a remarkable book of Scripture. It provides for us a perfect fit, a perfect engagement for today's pandemic crisis. The book of Psalms is a book that is filled with praise, with prayer, and perplexity. And perhaps we're experiencing all of those three things, but not necessarily in that order. Perhaps our first response is perplexity. And then that perplexity drives us to prayer. And then as we see God at work and settling our hearts and moving in our circumstances, we turn to praise. The book of Psalms, it was God's hymn book. It was the hymn book used by the people of God and still used by the people of God to express to God their heartfelt praise, their heartfelt perplexity, their heartfelt prayer. They are able to pour out themselves to God through the book of Psalms, using the very text of Scripture. And so Psalms really teach us three things. They teach us, first of all, who God is. What is God like? What are his attributes? What are his characteristics? Who God is. Secondly, how God has communicated with us. Take, for example, Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech. Night unto night shows knowledge. And there, through creation, David reminds us that God has communicated with us through creation. He's also communicated with us through his word. What's the longest psalm in the Bible? Anyone? That's Psalm 119, isn't it? Psalm 119 with those long stanzas, 176 verses unpacking the riches of the word of God. God has communicated with us through his word. And then thirdly, not only does it teach us who God is and how God has communicated with us, but how we may communicate with him. We may pray these psalms back to him. We may use the very text of Scripture and pour out our hearts to God. I love the book of Psalms, and as I've studied it this week, I've been reminded of a couple of quotes from a couple of commentators. A man by the name of Kay Harmon said, "The Psalms, as a collection, reveal the faith journey of God's people as they came by fits and starts to discover the nature of the one true God and this God's love for them and desire to lead them to fullness of life." Now let me read that again a little slower, in case some of you are trying to take notes. The Psalms as a collection. The book of Psalms is a collection of 150 Psalms. If you actually study it more carefully, you'll see there are five books, five sections, five divisions within the Psalms, and it is a collection, this man says, that reveals the faith journey, the ups and downs, the fits and starts, the responses, the engagement with God, and we discover the nature of who God is, his love for us, and his desire to lead us to a fullness of life, a full-orb life. We encounter God in the Psalms, like King David, at the low points and at the high points, at the points of discouragement and anxiety, and at the points of praise. Our God is Lord of all. Our God reigns as King over all the earth. Praise his name. The second quote I found by a man named Lawrence Richards says, "In every experience of our own, no matter how deep the pain, or how great the frustration, or how exhilarating the joy, we can find psalms which echo our inmost being, psalms which God uses to bring comfort or to confirm release." I love that. In every experience, certainly all of us, individually and collectively during these days, are having a variety of experiences, a variety of emotions. No matter, he writes, no matter how deep the pain, no matter how great the loss or how great the frustration or how exhilarating the joy, we find psalms which echo this. We find someone else, as it were, has taken our words, has said it better than we can say it. So praise God, we have the book of Psalms, and I would encourage you during these days when we are separated from each other that you read the Psalms, that you pour out your heart to God in a brand new way. I've had the joy in recent days of praying with people individually and to kind of track some of their life journey, some of the struggles, and praise God, we may turn to Him in our need. We can cast all our care. We're often reminded of that, aren't we? We can cast all our care upon Him because He cares for us. Or Psalm 68, verse 19, I love that text. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a burden-bearing God. He's taken the greatest burden we've ever carried, the burden of our sin. And He took that in the person of His Son, took it to the cross. Well, as we come to Psalm 2 and we connect with our series, we're asking again the question this morning, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus Christ? And the answer today comes to us from Psalm 2, verse 7. Next week, we're going to be looking at the text surrounding Palm Sunday, where Jesus comes into the city of Jerusalem on the back of that donkey. He is the lowly king. He is the humble king. But in this text, Psalm 2, verse 7, the psalmist writes, I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today, I have become your father. This psalm portrays Jesus as God's reigning king, as the one who's been installed, as the one who's been established upon the throne. This psalm was often read at coronations. If you know the history of Israel, you know that after the time of the judges and during the time of Samuel the prophet, the people desired a king. And God raised up for them and allowed Saul, King Saul, to be appointed. And he reigned as king for 40 years, and then he was succeeded by David, the very author of this text. And David reigned for 40 years. David was the man after God's own heart. David was the shepherd king. David was the king who penned so many of these expressions of praise and prayer, who poured out his perplexity to God in the midst of his own circumstances. This psalm is framed, as it were, in a monarchist setting. I remember a number of years ago when I was attending a Bible college. My wife and I attended a seminary, a Central Baptist Seminary, now Heritage College and Seminary in Cambridge. But it was in those days, it was located in Toronto. And one of our fellow students, a man named Donald, was a monarchist. He loved everything royal. He was part of the Church of England, the Anglican Church, and he had a great passion for the monarchy. He loved the Queen, and any time in the news, any time in television or in print, there was a reference to the monarchy, Donald would always draw it to our attention. In fact, I recall going with him to St. Paul's Anglican Church in Toronto to hear a lecture on church history, and there was a great tie-in with the monarchy. Fascinating. Well, our current queen, Queen of Canada, Queen of the UK, of course, when she took the throne, this was a monumental event. And as it was captured, in fact, it was one of the first large television events to be captured in Britain. It was watched by more than 20 million people. The Google Cultural Institute says the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II was a day of stunning pageantry and ritual that was celebrated around the world and marked the beginning of a long and historic reign. My friends, when God the Father installed His Son Jesus, who's called the Christ, upon the throne, upon Zion, his holy hill, I'm sure, I know that was a day of stunning pageantry. That was a day that was celebrated around the world, in heaven and around the world, as God declared that his Son had been established. He had installed his king on Zion, his holy hill. And of course, the beginning of a long and historic reign. And he shall reign forever and ever. Can't you hear the words of the Messiah? Can't you hear the words of George Frederick Handel as he portrays that future consummation, that future day when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. But this psalm looks back. This psalm looks into the past, and it describes, again, around about 1000 BC, David reflecting on the turmoil that was in his world. He pens this remarkable psalm, 12 verses, four stanzas, or as it were, four verses that each have three verses in them. So there are four stanzas of this particular expression of praise and prayer. And we're going to work our way through it this morning as we consider, who is Jesus? He is God's reigning king. Well, there are four acts. It's as if there's a play, a drama that's being portrayed for us, and we get to see as observers, we get to watch what is unfolding both on earth and in heaven. Act one, I've entitled Rage in the Palaces. Rage in the palaces. David asks, why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his Christ, or against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. So here is David, as it were, peering into the very courts, high courts, royal throne rooms, and he sees these kings. He sees these leaders forming an alliance to take on God. They are set against God. They want to throw off God's standards. They want to throw off God's requirements, God's ways. They want to break off his chains. They feel God's ways, God's standard, God's will is restrictive. They want their freedom. There is, as it were, a world rebellion that's going on. And the world in David's day was marked by turmoil. Turmoil is in each century. And typically in those days when a new king was crowned, those who were under his authority would sometimes flex, as it were, their independence. They wanted to break off the shackles of the old king. Here was a new king, and here was their chance, as it were, for political independence. Well, as we face our world today in the turmoil that we are in so many sectors, let me remind us all that we need a biblical, we need a theological perspective for interpreting world events. We need to be saturated in the Word of God. We need to know the will of God and the Word of God, and we need to read the Word of God more than ever as we deal with the reality of our current crisis. Here's the principle. Here's what David is saying to us by the direction of the Spirit of God. If you look around, you see turmoil. If you look up into heaven, you'll see truth. You look around, you see the raging nations, the nations in turmoil. Look up and see a ruling Lord. The kings of the earth in David's day were taking on God. They were opposed to God. They gathered together. They formed their alliance against the Lord, he said, and against his anointed one. They were pushing back against God. They were asserting their will. They were praying, my will be done on earth, rather than your will, thy will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. And so David asks, why does this happen? Why are the nations in such turmoil? Why is there rage in the palaces? But before he answers that, in the next stanza, verses 4 through 6 of Psalm 2, he answers it, or he begins to engage us in thinking through what is happening by opening up, as it were, a window into heaven, and we see the activity of God. Psalm 2, verses 4 to 6, this is Act 2 in the play, and I've entitled it, Rebuke in Heaven. Rebuke in heaven. How does God respond to this rebellion? When God, who reigns as king over all the earth, as when he looks down and sees these kings, these rulers, these political leaders mobilizing, assembling their united nations, as it were, against him, how does he respond? The psalmist picks out four verbs, four action words, that describe for us how God responds to the rage in the palaces. He rebukes them. First of all, how does God respond? He laughs. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. God laughs at the foolishness of people on earth. The Lord scoffs at them. He ridicules their plans. Their idea of what they're going to do to overthrow God is so foolish. It's ridiculous. I love it in the wintertime. It wasn't that long ago that we've had some snow days. It's not been quite as extreme here in Canada as it's been in other years, but I love it. People have all their plans. They're going to do this and that, and then God, with one word, with one direction, sends a snowstorm and everything on earth comes to a screeching halt. Consider the impact of what he's even permitted with this virus. What has God allowed? How has life changed through a tiny virus that has impacted the nations of our world? God laughs. God scoffs. Then he rebukes them. He corrects them. He challenges them in his anger. And he terrifies them in his wrath. And he says to the leaders, you think you're in charge? You think you're the king? You're the leader? Let me tell you. Let me declare. And he quotes, if you notice verse 6, it's spelled out as a direct quote with God speaking. And God says, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I have my ruler. I have my anointed. I have my king, and he's on my throne. And he is Lord. He is ruling. He is in charge. What is God saying to us? He has appointed his rightful ruler over every nation and over every life. The truth is, Jesus Christ is Lord. The challenge is, not everyone acknowledges that. We know in Philippians chapter 2 that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But until that day, not every knee bows. Not every tongue on earth confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. But those of us who claim to be his followers, those of us who claim to know him, gladly confess. We declare Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And now as he responds, he is rebuking, he is correcting the misperception of those on earth. We move into Act 3, which is in verses 7 through 9. And in verses 7 through 9, the king who's on the throne, the king who God has established, speaks up and he proclaims the decree of the Lord. He shares what God has said to him. Here is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, unpacking, revealing for us an intimate conversation that his father had with him. We're going behind the scenes. We're going into the very throne room, the very courts of heaven. And the Son of God says to us, let me tell you what the Father has accomplished. Let me tell you what the Father said to me. He said to me, verse 7, he said to me, you are my Son. Today, I have become your Father. Who's the King? Who's the King that has been installed on the throne? It is none other than the Son of God. His Father is the Lord of the universe. His Father is the God who created, who spoke all these worlds into existence. And he said to his Son, you are my Son. Today I've become your Father. Now we saw this a couple of weeks ago when we were looking at the baptism of Jesus and at the transfiguration. You remember those two occasions where the Father announced publicly, this is my Son. This is my beloved Son. This is the Son whom I love. Listen to him at the transfiguration or at the baptism. This is my Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So Act 3 is really the reward in Zion. The King on the throne is none other than the Son of God, and the Father offers to him a reward. The Father says to the Son, ask of me. Just ask. And I will make the nations your inheritance. I'll give you the nations of the world, the ends of the earth, your possession. Now we see this reflected, don't we, in the ministry of Jesus. You recall, as Jesus, after his baptism, he was led out into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And one of the temptations that the devil brought to him, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in that day, and he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, I will give you all this if you will bow down and worship me. And you recall Jesus quoting scripture, responding to temptation with scripture by saying, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So he refuses the offer of the nations by Satan. That's chapter 4 of Matthew. Then we get to Matthew 28. What do we find in Matthew 28? Probably the most well-known missionary text in all of Scripture. What does Jesus say? Matthew 28, 18 to 20. All power, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. All nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And behold, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. This reward, this is the Father's reward to the Son. He says to the Son, just ask, and I will give you the nations. You may have all the nations of the world. I place them under your authority. He is Lord. Now, the Father anticipates that the Son will rule. But how will he rule over these nations? He will rule them with an iron scepter. You see power. You see force. You see might. You see strength. These nations will be crushed. The plans on earth will be overcome by the plans of heaven. The will of man will be triumphed by the will of God. You will rule them with an iron scepter, verse 9. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. All their plans, all their ideas will come to nothing as Christ demonstrates that he is Lord. He's in charge. God's will be accomplished. Well, now as we come to the final stanza, Act 4, in this great drama, we come back to the palace. And the question for us here is there repentance in the palace? Will these kings submit? Will these kings be wise? And look at the urgency as the psalmist now pleads and urges and challenges these kings to respond properly to the Son of God. Verse 10. Therefore, you kings, number one, be wise. Don't be foolish. Remember Psalm 14:1? Anybody? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The psalmist says, therefore, you kings, be wise. Don't be foolish. Be wise. Secondly, be warned. It's foolish for you. It's foolish for me to continue in rebellion. Oh, how many times have we continued on in a foolish pathway? We have ignored the warnings. We've ignored the pleading to stop our activity. And we foolishly made unwise decisions. Here the psalmist says to the rulers, as he says to us today, be warned, be warned. Serve the Lord with fear. Submission, listen, submission is always expressed by service. I think one of the realities that we're facing during these days is how may we serve God and how may we serve others during this crisis? Lord, what do you want us to do? How may we serve you more effectively where you've placed us? How may we serve others? How may we love you with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind? How may we love our neighbors as ourselves? Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice. Rejoice with trembling. What a picture this is. What a mixture of emotions as we stand before the King. Can you imagine having an audience with a king, perhaps even having an audience at one of the palaces of the world? You have this special invitation. You have this special opportunity to go there. Your heart is filled with joy, but you also remember where you are. You're in the presence of the king. You're in the palace. There is protocol. There is a right way to approach. There is a right way to speak. There is a right way even to respond to this monarch. Surely the same principles apply as we come into the presence of our God. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. And then his appeal is to kiss the Son. Greet the Son. Welcome the Son of God. Include him. Portray your submission. Demonstrate your submission to him. Lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. I want to tell you a story of a friend of mine. No, years ago, he's since passed away. But he had served in the Canadian military and he was stationed in Britain in World War II. And on this particular day, it was his day off, and he had leave, as it were. He had permission to leave the barracks and to have a few hours to himself. And as he was leaving, one of his commanding officers stopped him, so they saluted, and he challenged him. He compelled him, commanded him to turn around and get ready because there was an invitation to go to Buckingham Palace. The king and the queen had invited a Canadian representative, a soldier in the Canadian army, to be brought to the palace so they could express their appreciation for the service, for the cooperative service of the Canadian army in the war effort. Well, this man was grumbling all the way back to his barracks as he got himself ready, and, you know, he submitted, he followed the order, and then before long, a car was sent from Buckingham Palace and picked him up, and he was whisked over to Buckingham Palace and taken in. You know, everything, his boots were shined, everything was pressed. He looked his best. And there in the middle of the afternoon, while his buddies were out, many of them in the front lines, here he was having an audience with the king. Having access, he had special a high tea. He had privileges. He was honored in a special way. And he said to me, Keith, remember, I would have missed that. To think I would have missed an audience with the king. Well, I've thought of that conversation many times, and I've wondered how many times have I missed an audience with the King of Kings. Oh, let these words of Psalm 2 impact our hearts today. Who is Jesus? He is God's reigning King. And let's today make for before God a fresh surrender. May we say, I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Years ago, Dr. Samuel Zwemer, a guest missionary speaker at a convention, the Keswick Convention, 1937, made these important words. Unless Jesus Christ is Lord of all, He is not Lord at all. May I invite you, as we draw this time together, wherever you are in your home, listening to this today instead of gathering with God's people because of our current situation, wherever you are, make a fresh surrender of your life to Jesus Christ. Let me lead us in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for the clear portraits in your word of who Jesus is. Thank you that your Son, Jesus, who's called the Christ, is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you that you have established Him on Zion, your holy hill. We pray that even this very day, our heads and hearts will bow before you, that in a fresh way, we will surrender to Jesus, who's called the Christ. Thank you for your mercy to us. Guide us, Lord, in a fresh love encounter with Jesus Christ. Help us to demonstrate our loyalty to Him and our love for others. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, having heard the word of God from Psalm 2 in our message this morning, let's sing in closing, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Two stanzas of this wonderful hymn exalting the Lord Jesus Christ as the King.
Crown Him with many crowns.
Pray that as we reflect upon the wonder of who you are and the glory that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, we pray that our faith would be strengthened. Please continue to move among us by your Spirit. We pray for your touch in each family, in each individual. And we long, Father, that you would accomplish your great will. May your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. So lead us forward in your great plan for our lives individually, in your plan for the church, in your plan for the nation, in your plan for our world. May your will be done. Thank you for your grace. Now we pray that the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ would rest upon us all until we meet again. Amen.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to Pastor Keith's message, but we'd like to invite you to join us at Ajax Baptist Church, 10 a.m. every Sunday morning, where you can not only hear Pastor Keith live in person, but you can also experience good community fellowship and join us in musical worship and praise. If you have questions about today's message or any other concerns, Pastor Keith would be delighted to hear from you directly. Just call the church at 905-683-4802. We look forward to seeing you soon. Your friends at Ajax Baptist Church.